everybody, and welcome to Geek Tyrant Weekly. This is episode 91. How is everybody doing today?
Good.
Good.
I thought you were addressing the listeners, and I was wondering how you were going to get a response from them, but I'm doing well.
Well, you know, they can press, say... They can
if you're
say
good,
good as well.
Press one now.
Yeah,
if you're
exactly.
bad, press two.
Call this number. Welcome. I'm your host, Dr. Venkman, and with us today, we have Mazer. Hello, Mazer. Hello, Mazer.
Oh, sorry. In the interest of science, I am playing random video games for research, and I'm wondering how anyone plays some of these games, because they are so boring.
How much time have you spent playing Farmville?
I have spent 5 minutes because that is all the time it allows me to play. Because apparently I have to wait till tomorrow to harvest things.
Well, that just sucks.
That's how it works. I don't know. That's like really casual gameplay.
Very casual.
Wait till tomorrow.
That's like the that's like the video game equivalent of having a pet rock.
I think it gets more involved. I think you can have like ones that like, you know, harvest every 4 hours and stuff like that, but
once you get that Miracle-Gro in there?
Yeah, it's not that interesting. And visually I'm just like, how are there so many people playing this and addicted to this? I don't know. Then again,
you know what?
It doesn't take. I think it's more of a social thing than anything. Because look at poker and all. Lots of really boring games have really large followings. So I don't think it's necessarily.
Poker's not really that boring, though.
Depends on who you're playing with, I guess.
Okay, I see.
Especially if you're not playing for money, then it becomes really boring.
All right. But you tell us how this is next week. How your farm's coming along, and we'll go from there. How about that?
Yeah. Although I've been playing Need for Speed World. Need for Speed World. I've got to say, it's pretty well put together, but it feels like it's missing a lot. It feels like half a game really does. So, I don't know.
That's a shame.
Yeah.
Ben P.
Dr. Vangel.
What's up?
Not much, sir. How are you?
Pretty good. You playing any boring games these days?
No, not really. I haven't been playing mini games. I'm still playing Grand Theft Auto 4.
Which is great.
Yeah, it's a good game.
Still playing Grand Theft Auto on the PS1?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to buying Red Dead Redemption. I think I'm going to make that purchase here in the next probably week or so. So I'm way behind the curve on that, but I'm really looking forward to catching up.
Awesome. All right. P. Vader.
What up, Hank Mizzle? What up?
You know, just chilling.
All right, I see you.
You playing any video games these days?
No, but Mazer mentioned the scientific research that he's doing involving video games, and actually Need for Speed even. Back in the 8th grade, my science fair project was I bought like a Car and Driver magazine, and I played Need for Speed, and I just matched their 0 to 60 times and like graphed them to see if how close they matched up, and I actually won first place.
Nice.
Yes, they sent me to the next round where I just got killed by all these people developing like architecture and stuff, and I was like, oh, I played a video game for my project, so.
I already won.
That's pretty freaking awesome.
It is.
Do you have video of that?
I do not, but I think somewhere back in my house, I still have the original like poster board,
like trifold.
Yeah, trifold poster board with the whole like graphs and setups and stuff. So
nice.
Well, I'm currently playing Halo Reach.
Nice. How's that?
I'm enjoying it very much. I haven't been able to play as much as I'd like, but I've been playing as much as time will allow. And I've been having fun, so congratulations to Bungie for creating the best Halo game that has been created so far.
Have you played a lot with the Forge? like their whole like level creating system?
No,
apparently
I
like,
haven't.
They went.
I want
all
out. To. I want to. I haven't done that yet. Seriously though, they should like go back and just remake all the Halo games with the better graphics and stuff, just because.
Is it that noticeable a difference?
Oh, in this game, yeah. Huh. I mean, from Halo 3 to Halo Reach, there's like a huge just jump of awesomeness.
Nice.
So yeah, it's worth it. It's definitely worth it.
I'm looking forward to the HD upgrade of Eco and Shadow of the Colossus.
Of course you.
I know very few people played that game, but I love those games.
Yeah, I heard good things about Shadow of the Colossus.
Yeah. Basically, the bosses are the level, and the whole thing, like, all you do is you go through this beautiful free-roaming world, and then you find a monster, and then you fight it, and that's the entire level. And it's a very long fight.
Yeah.
And it's pretty
very
cool.
Very cool.
Yeah.
You know, while we're on this video game subject, and kind of P. Vader got me, you know, by Tim taking himself back to the 8th grade on the project he did, I thought I'd throw out some little video game Dr. Venkman history.
All right.
That some people might be... no one's probably interested at all, but I'm just going to throw it out there.
I know what he's talking about.
In case I'm ever in any Trivial Pursuit game or something. So,
when I was... Edition.
Yeah, exactly. So when I was 11, I actually was in a few Super Nintendo commercials that I starred in. So
nice.
Anyway, that's that.
Do you have YouTube links for those that we could put up on the site or anything?
I eventually maybe.
Yes. Yes.
It's so bad. It's so bad. One of them was for Super Adventure Island.
All right.
And I talked to, this is my first experience, I guess, with green screen technology in the early 90s. Because I had to talk to one of the characters from the video game.
Amazing.
And, you know, there's nothing there. And when you see the commercial, I just look so uncomfortable. It's just like... It's funny.
If it's half as awesome as the Crossfire commercial, then it's got to be gold.
Dude, I wish I was in the Crossfire commercial.
That is a cool commercial. It's got a cool theme song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's that. Yeah, honestly, I don't know if there's anything up on YouTube. So I'll have to check. If there is, if I can find anything... I'll pull it out and send it to one of you guys, because I'm not going to post it.
I'll put it in the show notes of this episode if I find it, listeners.
I'll take it.
There you go. Yeah.
Cool.
All right, so moving on to the box office numbers for this last weekend. We have The Social Network coming in at number one at $15.4 million. I'm sure you guys talked about this last week. I wasn't here last week, so I really didn't get a chance to talk about it. Needless to say, I loved it. My favorite movie of the year so far. And probably one of the greatest movies made in just a long time. I don't know.
Yeah.
So you guys all talked about it already. That's just my 3 cents right there. And number two at the box office, Life as We Know It, in its first week. That was the Katherine Heigl, Josh Duhamel movie. Brought in $14.5 million. It just does not look interesting to me at all, which is why I didn't go to the movies this weekend.
I mean, it was pretty much like one of the greatest movies made in a long time.
Are you talking about The Social Network?
No, I was talking about Life as We Know It.
For Katherine Heigl.
I did not see Life as We Know It. Let's move on.
You know,
skip over my bad jokes.
The premise for it barely makes a TV show. So, like, I think they had to go with the movie.
Yeah, it barely just makes, like, a B plot of an episode of a TV show.
Yeah, so that happened.
Barely sustained.
Secretariat brought in 12.6. That is... the new Disney horse movie. Every time I see it, I just think, I'm sure this is one of those, you know, nice, feel good Disney films. It's kind of like, you know, like they used to do back in the day when they did movies like this all the time.
Yeah.
I just don't know if there's a market out there for it. I mean, it's great that they're trying to tell these stories, but I don't know. It's about a horse. I like Seabiscuit. That was good. But I just, I can't get past the part in the trailer where the guy's like, every trailer, TV spots, whatever, it always turns out the last line is, you gonna see something you ain't never seen before. And that just kills it for me. I don't know why. I just like, I can't see that movie because of that line.
But every single time, somehow, we have, no. It's exactly
what you've seen before. Yeah,
that's like the mark of what you've seen before.
Exactly. So, number four, Legend of the Guardians: The Owls of Ga'Hoole came in at $6.8 million. The movie's not doing too good. They spent $80 million on developing it. So far, it's $39.2 million. So
I wonder what it's doing internationally, because it's from the same people who did Happy Feet, and I think that did pretty well internationally.
I'm sure it'll make its money back, but it's definitely wasn't a blockbuster. Yeah. But I think it should have done better. I thought it was a great film.
But you know what? The third one would probably rake in a lot of money.
Yeah.
Because, like, imagine this gets out on DVD, people like it, or more word of mouth, kids get hooked on it, second movie comes out, huge.
Yeah. So then we've got number five. This is Wes Craven's My Soul to Take, which just, I got terrible reviews, and just everything about it looked absolutely awful, and you're wondering why Wes Craven...
Well, I love the line.
Did it, made it, it's just like, okay...
Yeah, I love the line that if something is evil enough, it can come back from the dead. It's like, really? Is there a quota of evil?
There is. There is a quota of evil.
Okay.
I don't know what that quota is. I've not been evil recently, so I don't know if anyone's taking tabs on my evilness or how they graph that and how that plays into what will happen after I die.
Well, I think there's an app for that.
There's a whole mathematical equation of how evil a person is. I don't know. I haven't figured out how they've done that yet. So, yeah, I just find it interesting that The Social Network is only on 2,771 screens, and Life as We Know It and Secretariat both have over 3,000. They still made less money because people just aren't interested. So congratulations to The Social Network. It deserves to be at the top of this list again.
I don't think I'll see it for a third time, but I'm happy I did see it a second time.
I am too. Next time I see it will be on Blu-ray.
Yeah.
Sure.
Well, the thing is, like, every single Fincher film that I own, I don't know, I can't even think of the number of times I've rewatched them and then gone through the special features and, like, you know,
Exactly. So, that's your top five. We're going to move on now to our little game, This Week in Box Office History. We're going to travel back in time to October of 1992.
All right, let's do it.
Are you ready?
Yeah, man.
Are you ready? I don't know if you're ready for this, but we're going to see. Okay.
I've got a guess.
Who's going to be the first?
I got one.
To throw this out there. I will say this. I'll give a hint. And it probably will mean nothing to you, but I bought one of these movies today.
Wow.
On Blu-ray, which I found interesting.
Huh.
And unfortunately, the Blu-ray sucks ass of this movie. It is grainy and bullcrap, and I want to get my money back for it. But they won't take it back because I opened the stupid ass package.
I couldn't even finish
watching the movie. It was so bad. Okay, anyway. There's your hint.
Well, as P. Vader said right before we started recording, he and I were both 7 years old in 1992. So my way of tackling This Week in Box Office History was trying to put myself in the head of my 7-year old self. And the closest thing that I could come up with is DuckTales the movie Treasure of the Lost Lamp.
I have to say that You're not even close. One of the movies had ducks in the title.
Ooh, all right.
And it, yes.
So, hint for you guys.
So there's a hint right there for the next two.
What was the name of that movie? Like Stuart the Duck?
Howard
the Duck? I'm going to go with that one.
Well, why would you do that? Okay, no, it's not. Because one, I said ducks.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So it's ducks. So the Mighty Ducks.
Yes, there you go. The Mighty Ducks. Number
three.
It's just
a process of elimination.
But I'll make it. I'll make another guess. Just because
you should. Yeah. You should because
that was almost like.
Yeah, Howard the Duck was not my original guess.
Yeah, I was like, P. Vader's gonna go for Mighty Ducks.
Well, what was your original guess, real quick?
My original guess, I was just gonna go with Dick Tracy.
Well, okay, you'd still be wrong.
Okay.
See, my process would be: I was 10. What was on my underwear? Right. And I can't think. I'm totally blanking. And I don't think it's a '92 film. But for some reason,
none of these films are gonna be on your underwear, dude.
Yeah. I'm thinking like The Mask.
Yeah, you're thinking that's not wrong.
That's not even 92, right?
Very wrong. Yes.
Nope.
Okay, so
Adventures in Babysitting.
Yeah. No.
Wall Street.
No. Okay, so number one in 1992 was Under Siege.
That was on my underwear.
Yeah, exactly. 15 points. Yeah, when I name all of these off, just think of underwear, marketing underwear for each one, okay, that you'd be wearing as a kid, because that just might be funny. Okay, so Under Siege underwear, $15.7 million in its first week. It's a pretty big opening for 92, I believe. Number two, this is the one I bought today, The Last of the Mohicans. You'd think they'd spend...
Oh, no.
Yeah, you'd think they'd spend a freaking good money on transferring this over to Blu-ray, unless I just got a crap ass Blu-ray that's jacked up. I don't know.
Yeah, there's a few websites you gotta check out. I'm blanking on the name, but they literally just rate every little detail of it. At this point, it's like, I mean, when you were buying DVDs, like, you kind of go, okay, but now that so many of the studios are putting out like these, like, pretty much up-resed DVDs, you gotta really be cautious with the stuff you buy.
Yeah, so don't go out and spend money on this Last of the Mohicans Blu-ray. Just don't. The movie was great, but the Blu-ray is just torture.
Great soundtrack.
Yeah. It was great. So since that didn't work, I ended up putting on 2001 Space Odyssey again. Just because I needed some background noise. Anyway, number three, The Mighty Ducks. $7.9 million in its second week in a row. I guess that would work as underwear.
Yeah.
I guess The Last of the Mohicans would work too, with Daniel Day-Lewis. Number four was Hero, the movie with Gina Davis and Dustin Hoffman. I don't know if you remember that.
No idea that is.
All right, well, yeah, I remember it for some reason. I don't know. $4 million in the second week, so there you go with that. Number five, Mr. Baseball, 3.5. Number six, Sneakers.
Ooh, Sneakers is a good one, yeah.
Yep, love Sneakers, $3.1 million in its fifth week in a row. Number seven, 1492, Conquest of Paradise, $3 million in its first week in a row. Number eight, Mr. Saturday Night. Yep. $4.7 million in its third week. Number nine, Captain Ron, $1.6 in its fourth week. And number 10, Glengarry Glen Ross.
Ooh.
$1.6 million in its second week in a row. All
right.
So that was the box office for October 1992. Moving on to some geek news. We got some movie news that we got to talk about. Like Darren Aronofsky possibly taking on the directing duties for Wolverine 2. What do y'all think of that?
It's kind of crazy, man. Like, Darren Aronofsky is not known for these huge studio movies like that. I mean, obviously, the stuff that he's done is, like, very kind of personal and, you know, indie, and movies like The Wrestler and The Fountain, which is a bit more ambitious, but definitely not anything approaching the kind of budget and excess that I'm sure he's going to get into with Wolverine 2 if this comes to pass. Yeah.
Well, not only that, but he'll be jumping on a sequel, you know? You get a top-notch director jumping on a sequel to a very poorly, in my opinion, Wolverine, X-Men Origins Wolverine was a very poorly made film all around. It just reeked of terribleness.
I mean, I heard such bad things about it from you guys and other people. I didn't even see it.
So. Good.
Yeah, you're probably
living a better life because of it.
It seemed like the director put all the stuff all the notes from the studio and just hit blend until it became a smooth, tasteless paste called
Wolverine.
Well,
that's the thing, is Fox had a big hand in how that movie was made, and you know, bringing someone on like Aronofsky, who is very particular with the films that he does. He spends a lot of time developing them. You know, they're not quick. I mean, that's the reason why Warner Brothers didn't bring him on to Superman, is because he wanted to spend a lot more time developing it and perfecting it. Which is why they ended up going with Zack Snyder, because he can pump things out pretty fast and make them look cool. So
yeah.
But I think that's maybe what Wolverine needs, though, based on, you know, because I didn't see the X-Men Origins Wolverine either, based on like all the crappy reviews. But yeah, it probably needs someone who's going to take their time and kind of perfect it.
And that's the thing, is I hope the studio allows Aronofsky to do that, like to give him the freedom to make a good Wolverine movie, because the Wolverine movie is going to be taking place in Japan.
Yeah.
And Wolverine's going to be dealing with, you know, ninjas and samurai and underground mobsters and stuff like that, which is cool. I mean, the whole story that Frank Miller came up with is a very awesome story.
Yeah.
It will make for a great movie if it's done right.
Yeah.
And how can you not be excited for Aronofsky directing this? Because you know if he does it, it's going to be a good film. As long as Fox stays out of it.
I mean, yeah, if Fox stays out of it, what's the likelihood of that, though? Not high, I think. But
yeah,
I don't know. I mean, I'm excited because he worked really well with Hugh Jackman on The Fountain, which is, like, actually probably one of my favorite movies. I don't know what number it ranks or anything like that, but I love that movie a lot. So I'm excited to see these guys pair up again if this actually comes true. And then, I don't know, I think... somebody said in one, you know, I've read about this story all over the web, you know, either today or yesterday or whatever, but, you know, somebody said that maybe this will turn into a, like, one for them, one for me type of situation. It's kind of like George Clooney with acting, you know, where he does, like, a big, Ocean's 13, so he can make something like The Men Who Stare at Goats, or some sort of, you know, kind of passion project that he's really interested in that otherwise wouldn't have been made. So hopefully, if nothing else, Wolverine 2 will be a competent movie, maybe what X-Men Origins Wolverine should have been, and we can just kind of ignore that one altogether, and maybe this will be, you know, like a decent Wolverine movie. You know, get us kind of hyped up for, you know, X-Men again. Maybe, you know, this combined with Matthew Vaughn's X-Men First Class might kind of revitalize that franchise after Brett Ratner killed it. There goes our obligatory Brett Ratner bashing for this week. But, yeah, I don't know. That's kind of my take on it.
Cool.
We should also note that he turned down the movie Tales from the Gangster Squad.
Yes.
This is the one that Warner Brothers offered to Ben Affleck, I think.
And
like right in the, you know, in the wake of The Town, and Affleck, I'm pretty sure, turned it down to work with Casey Affleck writing another project. And then
I know they were working on the baseball one.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember the name.
Yeah, I don't remember. It's like they play Yankees pitchers who switched wives or something like that.
Yeah.
I think it's kind of based on a true story too, but So apparently Warner Brothers just kind of passed the buck down to Aronofsky with Tales from the Gangster Squad, and he was like, no, I'm not doing that, and kind of chose Wolverine 2 in favor. So they're working out the details of the deal. Hopefully everything will go through on that, but just to give people a little bit of context for what's going on in case they didn't know.
Yeah, I think it's a good choice, definitely. I think it has to be him and take the time to actually, because right now you have to basically change the flavor of Wolverine to make it something that actually feels so different from that previous film that you, I mean, the fact that we're sticking with Hugh Jackman, I mean, you can't blame him for the film that he happened to be in, which is unlike what's happening with Superman with Brandon Routh. I think it's pretty interesting that they're going to go that route.
Yeah, I mean, that's something that we definitely can't take for granted. The fact that, because for me, it's like, it's Hugh Jackman or nobody for Wolverine. Like, he's that embedded into my head right now as the live-action Wolverine.
You're probably not going to have another Wolverine for another 10 years or so, till he's old enough to go, okay, he can't really do it anymore. Yeah. He looks way too old to be able to make it, you know, make you believe that Wolverine doesn't age.
And Hugh Jackman seems like kind of a smart dude from, like, interviews and things that I've seen him in. So I know that he's really passionate about this Japan storyline. He's been talking about this for a couple years. Even before X-Men Origins Wolverine started filming, he's been talking about this version of the story being told.
Well, yeah, I think he listens to the fans and he knows how serious it is for these fans. I mean, they have Wolverine tattoos and stuff like that, so it's like, he knows how serious these people are, and for the film to have been such a clunker.
Yeah, and I mean, he has respect for the subject matter, so hopefully, you know, his kind of passion with Aronofsky, who, let's face it, isn't really going to do this job unless he really wants to, you know what I mean? If he's turning down projects from Warner Brothers, like, he doesn't have to pick this up. Yeah. If he wanted a paycheck, he could have done that one, you know?
Yeah, well, he just came off of RoboCop. Yeah. And he's probably been looking for, like, a larger project to do.
Yeah.
And this is probably, for him, it's like...
And I'd rather him do Wolverine 2 than RoboCop.
I think, yeah, for the reason that Pete Vader said, like, if anybody is going to kind of take this thing seriously, maybe Aronofsky will.
Yeah. And he can hit RoboCop 10 years from now if he wants to.
Sure. Yeah, once MGM finally gets their crap together.
Or sells it, or who knows where it ends up.
I hope he takes it. I think it'll definitely be good for the Wolverine franchise. So we'll see what happens. I'm sure we'll hear sometime within the next week or two, I imagine. What do you guys think about the possibility of Bradley Cooper playing the Flash? Because word on the internet is that the studio is looking at bringing him in to take on this superhero character.
P. Vader, what do you think?
Well, I've never really, read Flash comics and stuff. But from what I understand, the Flash is kind of like he's kind of like a jokester, like outspoken. What's a better word to describe him?
Well, there's a couple different variations. The one you're describing is Wally West, and he is, definitely kind of he's the one that Ryan Reynolds was in talks to play all those years ago. The one that they're talking about making for this movie is actually the first Flash, which is Barry Allen, who's a little bit more grounded, and I mean, he still has a little bit of that humor to him, but it's not like...
Okay.
Wally West reminds me of kind of the comic version of Spider-Man, where he's like constantly making one-liners and very kind of off-the-cuff humor and stuff like that. This guy's a little bit more legit. He's like an actual police, he works as a chemical expert, for the police department, like CSI style, but go ahead, continue.
But well, you know, it just seems based off of his A-Team performance, he can kind of pull off the I'm not going to say the characters are the same, but that definitely is a good resume to reference in casting for the Flash, I guess.
Yeah.
This is the point I'm trying to make.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know who else you're going to cast. What good-looking, like, super ridiculously fit guy who's also funny you're going to find out there. I mean, I mean, there's, the list is probably about five guys, right?
Well, yeah, like Ryan Reynolds, but, you know.
Ryan Reynolds.
they could cast Zach Galifianakis.
I mean.
Robert Downey Jr., you know. It only goes so many people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It only goes so deep.
But, yeah, it, you know, Ben was talking about kind of the darker Flash character, and like this movie is has been described as being inspired by films like Silence of the Lambs and Seven.
I thought you were gonna say the Batman Dark Knight, Begins, and then I was gonna say
no. It's I mean they're they were comparing it to films like Seven and The Matrix.
Okay.
And,
which, I don't know, man. Like, I've read a lot of Flash comics because at one point, only probably about 3 or 4 years ago, the Flash was, and maybe still is, my favorite superhero, especially in the DC world, right? So, I know, I mean, I'm not going to say, I'm not going to sit here and say I know everything about him.
About
the character.
Yeah, you are. Just say it. Just
I'll talk to our This Week in Comics guy, Alan Trehearn, for that. But, I mean, I feel like I have a good grasp on the character, and comparisons to Seven seem a bit outlandish, for a bit too dark for a superhero character like this. He's not like a brooding Bruce Wayne type or anything like that. This guy, like
he wears
a
red suit.
He cracks some jokes. Yeah, he's got like a super fast metabolism, so he's constantly eating high amount, like, you know, excessive amounts of food to keep himself going and stuff. There's some comedic elements here, and to suggest that this movie is going to be more like Seven, I think is a way for them to say in not the same words that this is going to be like Batman Begins.
Yeah.
I also don't know how visually that's going to be interesting to see, because like, I just thinking of like the Flash TV show,
I'm like,
okay, so you're going to improve that, and that's going to look better, and it's going to really look like he's running that fast. Okay. Then what? Like, what's the villain? What's the threat? What's the...
The Flash actually has, like, one of the most outrageous groups of rogues galleries.
Isn't that the Weatherman or
something? Yeah, the Weather Wizard. There are so many. Captain Cold.
So all about slowing him down.
But they're all just, like, super, like, super flamboyant villains. So, for me, it's not even who plays the Flash. It's which villain are they picking and who's playing that villain. Because that is going to be the real fun part of this movie. Unless they do really go dark with it. In which case, maybe somebody like Philip Seymour Hoffman will get cast as a villain.
And then when you go dark like that, what did the costume look like? Is there a costume?
Right, because that's the thing about the villains.
Why have
too,
a costume
like,
if he's that fast?
The Weather Wizard, and like, there's like a rainbow. There's like a Mirror Master guy who wears like this rainbow suit. Like, it's insane. Like, you know, there's like, you're not gonna have that kind of same translation. It's gonna be more like Watchmen type costumes, I think, where it's got a little bit of practicality to it, but.
Yeah.
But I don't know. We'll have to see with all that. But
yeah, it'll be interesting to see what they end up doing. I mean, obviously the Flash is going to happen. This, you know, we've got the script. The studio's going to get a script soon.
Yeah.
They're already looking at actors and directors. So it should be interesting to see how this turns out. I hope they turn it into a fun project.
Yeah.
I can't imagine the Flash being like Seven, though. You know,
I don't
it's kind of hard
to imagine that.
It's hard. I mean, they say it's inspired by it, so you know, who knows how far they took it. You know, maybe they just are like, oh yeah, it's inspired by Seven because one, they're gonna use that movie because it sounds cool, and everyone knows it, and two, the way they can connect it to Seven is. Yeah, it's about this cop who has to go around finding, you know, figuring out who's killing these people type thing,
yeah,
you know?
And like using evidence like, so, and stuff like that.
Yeah, so it's like a class, you know, just a detective story. I mean, they could easily just call it a murder detective story, you know?
Yeah.
But I don't know, we'll see. But I'm looking forward to it. I would love to see a great Flash film, but you know what I'd want to see more? I want to see a full-on live action or... CGI / live action tick movie. I want someone to do that right, you know? I mean, the cartoon was amazing. They did it right, but I want to see, like...
This is. I can already see the
full-on
the studio executives, the accountants going, where's the audience for this?
The audience is right here. Here.
One man.
I'm pointing at myself, by the way. So
it would be cool if they did that, but I think the TV series and the cartoon are as far as the tick's gonna get.
I don't know. We'll see.
I mean, they are making Battleship, so
that's true.
The tick would be way better than Battleship, though.
It's a lot more story than in Stretch Armstrong, the toy.
Let's not get depressed. Let's move on before I start to commit suicide here.
Okay, so how about Danny Boyle taking, possibly, I can't say, like, it's not fully 100% committed, but Danny Boyle has been talking about directing a 28 Days Later sequel, which would be the third film in the 28 zombie franchise. So we had 28 Days Later as the first film, and then we had 28 Weeks Later. You'd assume that it's going to be 28 Months Later, but no, that's not going to be the case with this next film. Not sure what the title's going to be. If it will even have 28 days in the title, but or even the number 28, I don't know.
The fact of the matter is,
Danny Boyle is looking to come back to this franchise, which is pretty freaking cool.
Yeah, I haven't seen any of these movies, so I'm on the outside looking in on this one. But it seems to me that Danny Boyle, after Slumdog Millionaire and after 127 Hours, which is getting really great reviews and, you know, is shaping up looking to be a really great movie, kind of one of my big anticipated ones for next month. I think he can pretty much do what he wants. He can kind of call his shots at this point. So the only reason I can imagine him returning to this franchise is if he has something really unique to contribute that he didn't do the first time around. So, because this type of franchise seems like a real good spot for what he did last time, which was bring a young up-and-coming director in and kind of let them show off their visual style or whatever within the framework of the story. So I don't know why he would interrupt that that lineage or whatever by inserting himself back in. It's kind of like a Ridley Scott going back to an Alien type of thing. I don't know. What do you guys think?
Hey, that's happening too.
I know.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of with Ben. I don't really understand why he would go back, you know, like why he would have interest in it. But yeah,
for
obviously,
fun.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, he can go back.
Or,
if he wants to go
he's
back.
Right. He's got a great idea for another zombie movie that could possibly, you know, I don't know, reinvent it in some way. I mean, zombie movies have always kept a formula, you know. If you've seen one zombie movie, you've pretty much seen them all,
type deal,
you know? So, well, that's not true.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's why...
You know what I mean, though?
Yeah, that's why 28 Days Later was great, because it did
break
the formula.
Exactly.
And I think if he came back, he would try to break the formula again. I'm not sure what that would be, but...
I'm watching a lot of zombie movies. I don't know if you've seen, if you've noticed on the site, where every weekend I do it's month of October is kind of like this Geek Tyrant Zombie Fest thing where I'm just watching zombie movies and then I'm just choosing the best ones that I see and writing up a little thing on it. But I don't know. 28 Days Later is definitely going to be on that list at some point.
Although for some people it's debatable,
but
it's
so
a zombie
obvious.
Film. I mean, some people call it an infection film. And zombie
films infection.
Are...
And all zombies are infected.
Yeah.
Yeah, but some people are saying, you know, where it's like the undead coming back to life. That's a zombie. Not
we're
people
getting...
getting...
very technical.
Yeah,
semantics.
Yeah, but I consider it a zombie film.
There's, yeah, it's a zombie film. Sorry, zombie purists. I love zombie films, but I'm not going to be nitpicky about it. So it'd be cool if it happens. I hope it does. Let's see, what else have we got going on in the news? There's Jason Bourne. There's a new Jason Bourne movie coming out. This is going to be the fourth Jason Bourne film. Okay, the fourth Bourne film. Who's directing it?
Tony Gilroy.
That's right, Tony Gilroy's directing it. Okay. Then, you know,
he's more missed than hit for me, by the way.
News comes out that the movie's not even going to have Jason Bourne in it.
Yeah.
What's up with that?
That's my biggest issue right there, is like...
You can't have a Bourne film without Jason Bourne.
It's supposed to be
is Jason Bourne.
Yeah, it's supposed to be called The Bourne Legacy. Why would they call it that if Jason Bourne is not in it?
You know, unless Bourne dies, right?
Yeah, but they said that's not what it is.
No, they... And they didn't say he was coming back as a zombie or anything?
It's going to follow a new character.
Yeah, it's not a reboot, and it doesn't, you know, it fills in with the timeline of the pre-existing
you can't have
films.
Bourne in the title. I mean, if you call it The Bourne Legacy, it's like, is it some guy, like, living the legacy of Bourne? Like,
I think it's a guy who is
going to be running around talking to people? It's like, dude, did you hear about Jason Bourne? The guy was a legend, man.
Probably.
Sweet. I want to be like him.
Yeah, I think it has more to do with the Treadwell.
Treadstone.
Treadstone,
yeah, yeah.
The training program that created Bourne.
Yeah, that whole, like, the universe is going to stay the same, because Tony Gilroy, he's only directed, I think, two movies now. Michael Clayton was his first one, and Duplicity with Julia Roberts and Clive Owen. Which I really like that movie, by the way.
I thought he's directed a few more.
I thought those were... Maybe I'm wrong. But Tony Gilroy is a writer, primarily, and he was the one who kind of wrote, if I'm not mistaken, all the other Bourne movies, and has been on from the beginning, like, kind of creating that world from the writing standpoint. So he wrote, quote-unquote, the Bible for the Bourne movies, came onto this project late in the game, wrote the Bible for Bourne 4, and then eventually just slipped into the director's chair when nobody else, when Greengrass and Matt Damon kind of backed out of it. I think he rewrote a new script for this one. And
he wrote the rules for Bourne.
Right, yeah, literally. And now he's going to be directing this one. So if this franchise is going to continue, it's in the right hands with this guy, because he's been there from the beginning. He knows the world arguably better than anybody else, because even Greengrass didn't even direct all of the movies. You know, other people directed stuff, so... I think he's the right guy. It's just a matter of whether or not the movie is going to be interesting. And I think it will be. Like, I was one of those people who, when I heard Bourne 4, I was like, no, I don't want to see anything about it. Because I thought Bourne Ultimatum completely wrapped up that storyline of Jason Bourne so well. That Matt Damon character. Yeah. Like, it was such a gorgeous bookend to that story. Like... the way that ends. I'm not going to give it away if you haven't seen it, but I was just like, Bourne 4, like, at this point I was living in Florida, and I was like, if they make a Bourne 4, I will drive to Hollywood and stab somebody in the eye. Like, I was so pissed when I heard that they were even considering doing it. And now that it's going to be kind of a different thing, but still keeping the franchise alive, I'm a lot more optimistic about it, because
I think you did drive out here to stab someone in the eye. That's why you moved out here.
Didn't you hear? I mean, I went to Comic-Con this year, so I did stab somebody in the eye. But anyway.
That was you.
Yeah. I'm on board with you, Ben.
Yeah.
I think that we've looked at so many franchises where it's the main character that has to be reinvented again and again and again. Why can't we have a main character that goes through a film, done, and then we move on to another character in the same universe?
Yeah.
I think that should
be the future, instead of just constantly rebooting things, just find other ways to weave things in.
Yeah, instead of having to find James Bond number 2 or Jason Bourne reinvented again, you know, why don't we just continue it in the same world?
A, for that matter, like... have another 00 agent in the Bond universe dealing with M and Q and everybody, you know? Like, why not try that one of these times? I don't know. That's just...
I will say that I like you guys, am more optimistic about it, but I still just don't really want to see this movie. Like you said, Ben, it, you know, Bourne Ultimatum ends it perfectly. Boom, done, it's over. I know, obviously, I'm a realist, and Hollywood's just going to want to capitalize off something that's popular. That being said, I don't have to like it. You know, I still...
Yes, you do. You're not listening to the right subliminal messages.
Like, I'll probably see this movie, but I'm going to just be kicking and screaming the whole time.
But why? Because it doesn't involve Jason Bourne. So, like,
why do you need to go back?
Because just the same reason that Mazer just said, instead of rebooting it, which you know they're going to they would have done if they didn't
that's go the this realism. Route, if they were going to go and make another Jason Bourne film where they go back and redo Jason Bourne prequel style.
Yeah.
Okay.
Before his memory, then you're going to have,
if it's a choice between a reboot and a re-exploration, I guess we can call this, then yeah, I'll pick the re-exploration, but I'm fine with having it be neither.
Well, it's not even a re-exploration. Well, it's a completely different character.
Yeah.
Look, if it has nothing to do with Jason Bourne, then, you know, they have to change the title.
I think you're right.
Well, imagine this. There's a game called Halo. And then we go in and we create other games called Halo, but they involve other characters. I think it's been done in the video game universe. I think it can be done in the movie universe.
No.
But Bourne is a name, can't. Though. That's the problem. Yeah. It's like a very specific guy.
Bourne,
like,
but
is
it's a
person.
Fake name. It's
I know,
a code
no.
name.
But then but then does it become like somebody else stepping into a Bourne persona? Like, you know, because there's that whole...
Is it going to be the guy that comes in and says, I'm the new Bourne?
Right. Like, I mean, there's that whole theory about James Bond. Like, Bond just being a code name, and that explains why... The sudden shift between Sean Connery and Roger Moore and Timothy Dalton and all these people is
you
like...
You forgot George Lazenby.
I remembered him and purposefully did not include him. but, you know what I mean? Like, there's that theory out there that, like, James Bond is just a code name that gets transferred onto whoever happens to be 007 that year or, the, you know, at MI6 at that particular time. So, I don't know. If the Bourne legacy ends up being that, where it's not Matt Damon, but it's still quote-unquote Jason Bourne. I don't really
like
know
a disguised
how
reboot. Basically.
Yeah, I don't know how I'm going to feel
they'll,
about
they'll
that.
They'll cast Chris Pine.
If they do, I'll be happy. I'm just going to say
I was
that.
Saying Chris Pine is like the go-to guy for these kind of roles.
Yeah, I mean, he's great. Do it. Like, let him go. I'll watch him all day. Chris Pine for Flash.
Do you have a crush on Chris Pine?
Yeah, I got a man crush. That's fine.
All right.
Whatever.
I was just asking, you know?
I really like Star Trek, so.
Well, I did too.
That's that.
He brings a swagger.
He does.
But you talk about Chris Pine an unhealthy amount, so.
All right, well, yeah, let's move on from my man crush then.
All right, so. Spider-Man, this new Spider-Man 3D reboot, has cast its villain. Rhys Ifans is the man who will fight Peter Parker in a battle to the death.
As
who knows? Because the news doesn't even say what villain he's going to play. So obviously we can start throwing out villain names like Lizard...
I don't think Lizard. I don't think
Venom,
Goblin.
Carnage. Venom. We've heard rumors that Venom possibly will have a part in this next movie. Just rumors, you know. And there's no solid information. Just stuff that's kind of been floating around the internet. You know how the internet is with its rumors.
Well, Vulture. I heard Philip Seymour Hoffman was in. You know, in talks for the role of Venom, which makes
exactly.
no sense.
Makes no sense at all. I don't know how that got started.
Just... I hope that's like Philip Seymour Hoffman as the Penguin, like that kind of rumor.
You know,
just,
as bad
like,
as Spider-Man 3 was, I liked the counterpoint of Venom being basically Peter Parker.
Yeah, I mean, that's the character.
Yeah.
He's like a competing photographer as well as, like... You know, just like all around.
Yeah. But in the comic books, he was older and bigger.
Try not. Okay, let's not defend Spider-Man 3.
I'm not defending it, but I like that they went that route.
No, you're trying to pick out good points from a crappy movie. Stop it.
Bryce Dallas Howard.
What about the dance number?
All right, guys.
You've silenced Dr. That's a rare feat, sir.
You just need to stop this now.
Yeah, it was Venkman's favorite part, and especially the haircut.
You bastard. You're not supposed to tell people that.
I don't think I've ever seen this guy in anything.
Yeah, I don't recognize
him. He's in
Notting Hill.
Yeah, he's in Notting Hill.
Elizabeth the Golden Age.
I saw Elizabeth the Golden Age.
Little Nicky, which I've never seen. And
I saw that, but I don't remember who he played.
Oh, okay.
In.
And none of the Harry Potter films, some of the Harry Potter films that I've never seen. But
I can't remember who he played in.
I think I remember him from Little
Nicky.
To
be honest, I've seen most of the movies this guy's been in, but I cannot remember for the life of the roles that he's played in any of these films.
I mean, they're obviously casting down.
I just happened to see Notting Hill.
So congratulations to him for landing the role that he'll actually, people will remember, hopefully.
Yeah. I mean, succeed or fail, they'll remember him from this movie. This movie is automatically going to make everybody in it a star because of how popular it's going to be, so... he won't have to worry about name recognition after that point. It's just a matter of whether or not this movie's going to be any good.
Exactly.
I don't know. He doesn't seem like that physically imposing of a guy.
He's got a more sinister look.
And he kind of looks like Carnage, to be honest with you. Like, he looks like a guy that I would expect to be.
Would they do Carnage for the...
I don't think they will.
Yeah.
It's probably too much too soon for a reboot.
Yeah,
but
I think he's going to be Kraven the Hunter.
It's possible. Apparently there's some story floating around that, like, in a draft of the script or something, Kraven is, like, a reality show guy who's, like, hunting Spider-Man on a reality show or something.
Okay.
So that's possible. Like, that very well could be true.
I was just trying to think of villains that we haven't seen yet.
Mysterio. Okay. But he's like a big one, as well as Rhino is also kind of a bigger guy.
Yeah, that guy's
and
a
then
Rhino.
No, not at all.
I imagine they're going to steer clear of the villains they've already used.
Yeah. I don't think you can. Some of those.
There's a Shocker.
Yeah. Okay.
Some of those.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to use the Green Goblin or anything like that, or the Hobgoblin.
Gwen Stacy's involved, yeah, the Goblin's definitely going to be involved.
I don't know. I hope they rewrite.
Maybe they'll set it up for another film. I don't know.
Maybe.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I've seen enough of the freaking Green Goblin, man. I got to tell you.
I'm not in. I don't want to see Green Goblin again. Just like I don't want to see Lex Luthor again in a Superman movie.
You know what you know what they should do here is set up multiple villains. And not have Spider-Man win at the end, just have the villains kind of cower and run away. And then, because obviously this is going to turn into a franchise, right? They're looking for like two or three movies here. The third movie, just have it be the Seven. I forget what the name of the Spider-Man, like the villains is, like a Sinister Seven or something like that.
Yeah.
Where it's like all of them combined. Like, have that be this epic third movie, right? Where it's like a mini Avengers within the Spider-Man franchise, you know?
And then they could bring in Wolverine, and Wolverine could team up with Spider-Man to fight them off.
That would be tight.
Different studios.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the only problem.
I know, that's why it will never happen.
Does Sony own any other Marvel properties?
I don't know.
I don't think so.
If they did, they'd be jumping on it right now.
Yeah, I think Fox has got the rest of them. They've got, X-Men.
Who has Daredevil?
Daredevil. Fox does, I think.
Fox.
Yep, Fox has got him.
And like Ghost Rider and stuff as well. So
I think it's funny that Daredevil was so bad that they didn't even try a reboot of any kind.
Well, they tried Electro with like a spiritual sequel, and that failed even worse. So,
they used the same director, right?
Yes.
Maybe Mark Steven Johnson, I think.
Yeah. So.
Ah.
Oh, that's unfortunate. So.
Anyway, yeah, congratulations to Reese Ifans for people
for
finally knowing.
The biggest role of his life.
Yeah, exactly. So
whatever it is.
All right, so let's talk about what's coming out this week. We got a few movies here. All of them I want to see. I'm interested in every one of them. Got Hereafter, which is opening up limited release in L.A. and New York. This is the new Clint Eastwood movie. I'm looking forward to it just because I'm a big Clint Eastwood fan. It may not look like, you know, the most exciting movie, but I think it'll be a solid film. It definitely looks like it, you know, looks like it was, you know, decently made, like most Clint Eastwood films are.
Something about it, for me, it doesn't seem like it's a solid idea, and doesn't feel like something's being executed well in terms of a study on someone with these abilities. It seems like they just said, all right, we have the guy with his abilities, and let's kind of play around with some drama around it instead of like really focusing on it. And it seems, I don't know.
I kind of feel the exact same way, and I think that's, I don't know how much of that is just the trailer or just the marketing.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I know how much we judge movies off trailers, but you never know what the whole movie is going to be. I mean, we got 2 hours when a trailer gives us, a couple minutes spliced together the best way they can. So, it should be interesting. I'm definitely looking forward to it.
Yeah,
Clint Eastwood hasn't let me down, you know, since.
You see Changeling?
I like Changeling.
Okay, I didn't see it. I was just wondering.
I like Changeling a lot. I know there are a lot of people that didn't, but I thought it was a very well-made film, underrated. I can't remember the one. He directed one that I absolutely just
did you see The Rookie?
Yeah.
Oh, man. The Rookie. That was...
Was it Bloodwork?
He did that one as well, yeah.
It was Bloodwork with... Jeff
Daniels, I think, right?
Jeff Daniels. I did not like that movie at all.
Jeff Daniels Lives Forever. I did enjoy that movie. I liked it a lot.
I didn't like it. But that was one out of, all of Clint Eastwood movies. Whatever. I didn't like that one. Anyway, doesn't matter. Hereafter's coming out. It'll open wide on October 22nd.
Yep.
Cool.
And then... Also opening up this week is Jackass 3D, which I am definitely looking forward to. It's going to be just a good time. You know what you're going to this to see this movie for. It's a group of jackasses trying to kill themselves for our entertainment. So why not take advantage of that and enjoy it?
I'm legally prohibited from saying anything about it, but I will say the trailer is very funny.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. Can I tell everybody what you told me about it?
Ooh.
Probably not.
I'm just joking. I just thought I'd throw out a little tease there. Okay, and the other movie coming out this week is the film Red, which is the comic book adaptation from Warren Ellis, Bruce Willis,
John Malkovich.
My mind went blank. Yeah, John Malkovich, Helen Mirren.
I don't know what the buzz on this is, but I don't care if it's bad. I just want to see it.
It looks like it's going to be awesome. The movie looks incredibly fun. So yeah. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, we'll definitely talk about both of those next week.
Sounds good. What are your picks of the week?
I would go with Hereafter just because I'm kind of with you, Joey. It looks good to me.
Okay.
Excuse me.
Okay.
I'm with you, Venkman. It looks good to me.
Sounds good.
I'm probably going to go with Red, although I will probably catch Jackass 3D at some point.
Yeah.
Ben, you probably can't comment.
I can't, yeah.
So it's either Jackass or Red for you.
Yes.
Okay, so there you go. He picks both. And I'm just going to pick all three because I really want to see all three movies. I can't pick one. I want to see them all. So
cool.
I'm excited for all of them. Other than that, don't forget to follow us on Twitter. At Geek Tyrant. You can fan us on Facebook at facebook.com/geektyrantfans. Like always, subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, and please let us know what you think of this podcast, because we really, would like to see your input and things that we can do better. If you got any suggestions, throw that out there. We want to know. Awesome.
We've got a good number of you guys listening. I checked the feed burner stats. I know there's people out there.
Nice.
So
yeah, if you guys are listening and you haven't left us a review yet in iTunes, if we could just take like 30 seconds and do that, that'd be awesome. It kind of helps our
I'd leave a review for our podcast, but I don't want to leave. Yeah, that's just lame.
Yeah.
If I go on there and leave a review of my own podcast.
I almost did it the other day.
Because I'm going to be like, dude, this is the best podcast ever.
I'll leave a review for your podcast.
Ooh, okay, yeah, we can trade off.
I'll make sure I do that.
There you go. And then you can always buy a Geek Tyrant shirt, some glasses, some cool swag over at geektyrant.me. We got some stuff up for sale that we're selling. And what else is there? If you want to donate, you know, donate at geektyrant.com/donate. We could definitely use any donations. We won't turn them down. And besides that, Dr. Venkman is looking for a job, so...
Aren't we all?
I'm just throwing that out there. thanks
for
everybody.
You've got a doctorate in...
I've got a doctorate in...
Paranormal psychology.
Paranormal psychology.
Nice. One quick plug, the Not Just New Movies podcast you can find in iTunes or at notjustnewmovies.com.
Yes.
Good stuff, folks.
It is. Yeah. You should listen to it. And what else?
I think that's it, man. I think we're good.
All right. Well, everybody, thanks for joining us on this 91st podcast.
Yes. Awesome.
I know I could have said 91st, but I went with 91st.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you, everybody. Have a great evening, afternoon, morning.
Peace.
Bye.